All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Pei Gimel 83, and we are picking up. Let's actually pick up on Pei Beis and with Beis 82b. We're going to pick up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line, Rabbi Akiva. We actually read a few of these lines, but I'll pick up with this drasha. Rabbi Akiva. Pesach, deino baila min achulim rale. So let's remember again, yesterday, we spent the bulk of our time focusing on the Mishnah statement that pretty much we learn about all of obligatory animals from Pesach. Just like Karan Pesach is an obligatory animal and it has to come min hachulin, has to come from a non-consecrated animal, so too again all sacrificial offerings have to come from unconsecrated sources. So if you remember again, the Gemara seemed to actually learn that out from Pesach Mitzrayim, the original Pesach. Rabbi Akiva, who says that ain done in efshar mishi'i efshar, you can't learn out something that is possible or something that is impossible. Therefore, again, by Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no possibility to go ahead and what? To go ahead and bring it from Kodesh. Therefore, you can't learn out Pesach Doros from that. So Rabbi Akiva, where does he learn it out from? Where does he learn out this principle from? Rabbi Akiva, Pesach din obalim and achulim rale. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn out that Karban Pesach can only come from a chulin animal? So which thing? Mehad Amr Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Because he learns out from the following drasha. Zos haTorah, li'ola v'la mincha v'la chatos v'la asham v'la miluim v'la zevach hashlamim. So we'll say, the Torah over here groups together all of the kabbalos. What's the purpose of grouping together all the kabbalos? So the Pashas, the leading Gemara, are going to understand it, is to allow us to learn one karban from another. So let's go through the list. Here we go. It's actually very exciting. So the Gemara says, Ola. What did I learn from Ola? Ma Ola to una kli. Just like an Ola requires a kli. And we're going to see what that means in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Ma Ola. I'm sorry. Ma Ola to una kli. Af kol ta'un kli. Mahi, what type of kli, what utensil are we referring to? Ilema mizrak, if you want to say that ola requires a bowl, as we'll say, in other words, if you're going to say the kli that's required over here, is a kli ultimately for what? For Kabbalah. So gabe zirchi shamitzibar namiksiv vayasim ba'agonos. So we'll say, we already have that explicitly stated, by communal shlamim, this we'll say actually is by Har Sinai. So the Pasuk says, they took the blood of the communal shlamim, and they placed them ba'agonos. Ba'agonos means what? In the bowls. So I already learned that, Karbanos, that you need a bowl for Kabbalah. Ela sakin. Ultimately, again, rather it teaches me that Ola requires a sakin, a knife for Shechita, as opposed to, let's say, Rashi points out, when you shecht an animal, do you have to use a knife? No, you just have to use a sharp object, right? So you want to use a sharpened reed, like the Imam Sechah Schulin discusses, you want to use a sharpened stone, you have the ability. Obviously, it has to conform, it has to be able to produce a kasher Shechita, but halacha l'maaseh, you don't have to use a knife. But again, by Ola, by Karban, you have to use a knife. So the Gemara says, "Va'ola gufa minama," and Ola itself. From where do we know that you require a knife? Tichsiv, vayishlach Avram es yado, vayikach es ha-ma'acheles lishchot es bino. Because we'll say the pasuk says, by the akedah, Avram took the knife and he was about to shecht his son. Vahasam olahu, and the akedah Yitzchak was going to be an ola. So we'll say, so therefore again from Ola, we learn that halacha l'maisa, you have to have a sakin, you have to have a knife, and therefore again halacha l'maisa, all other karbanos require knives as well. Beautiful. Weiter, mincha, what did I learn from mincha? Ma mincha ina ne'achal sal zichrei kuhuna, af kol ein ne'achal in ela zichrei kuhuna. Just like a mincha could only be eaten by the male kohanim, so too again what? All other karbanos could also only be consumed by male kohanim, to which the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, my, which kabbalas are we referring to that can only be eaten by male kohanim? Ichatas v'asham. If you want to tell me it's referring to achatas and asham, we'll say, top of pei gimel amad aleph, behejik sib. I will say, the Torah explicitly tells me that only male kohanim can eat achatas and an asham, right? The pasuk explicitly says that. Rashi says, v'zeyye l'cham kachyak alashim in ha'ish l'cho chatasom l'cho l'ashamam v'samich le'i b'kadosh kalashim izib chesham itzibor. And if you want to say that it's coming to teach me ultimately what? About communal shlamim offerings, that halacha l'maisa again, they can only be consumed by male kohanim. Meribuya dekroy asi. Those come about, say, from the ribui in the pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Bakodesh Hakadoshim Tochlenu, Kol Zachar Bakwanim Yochalo." So, limit al zivche shami tzibur she'in ne'echalin ela lezichrei kuhuna. Ultimately, again, that pasuk teaches me that zivche shami tzibur, communal shlamim, only go ahead and can be consumed by male karam. So we'll say, so you see what's happening over here? So we seem to have, we're saying over here that there, what we learn out from mincha is that just as mincha is only consumed by male kohanim, so to every other carbon is also only consumed by male kohanim. To which the Gemara says, but one second, we learn out that concept by shami tzibor, by communal shlamim offerings. So why do I need to learn out from mincha? To which the Gemara says, I'm on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph 83a, five lines down from the top. Tanoihi. To which the Gemara says, you're right, it is a machlokes tanoim. Ikud de maisi lemahacha. Rabbo said there's two different opinions. Here's the good news. What's the good news? Everyone agrees that karbanos are only consumed by who? Male kohanim. So Rabbo said the shaila is, where are you learning it out from? You're learning it out ultimately again from zivche shlamit tzibor. Are you learning it out from mincha? So that is the machlokes. Says the Gemara Chatos. What do I learn from Chatos in the pasuk? Ma Chatos mikatsha bibalua. Afkol mekatsha bebalua. So Rabbi is actually quite amazing. Take a look at bottom Rashi, kisve yad Rashi. So look at Rabbi in the wider lines of Rashi. Four lines in, last few words on the line. Ma chatos mekulash bebalua, dimbala basar shlamim mi basar chatos, yeshlem din chatos, le'ochel liyom valayla. Rabbi say, if you have two pieces of sacrificial meat, let's say one, for example, a shlamim, and one a chatos, and the shlamim meat absorbs from the chatos. Let's say again, the shlamim is called the chatos is hot. So the shlamim meat goes ahead and absorbs from the chatos. So I'll say, so again, what's the halacha? Ultimately, the shlamim takes on the status of the chatos, which means what Rabbi was saying, it now has the limited consumption window of the chatos. Only one day and one night. To which the Gemara says, so therefore, what the Gemara is saying over here is, Machatos mekatsha bebalua, just like a chatos ultimately again conveys its status when it is absorbed by another sacrificial item, afkol mekatsha bebalua. We'll say this is not just a din by chatos, this is a din in general by karbanos, that you're supposed to say when you go ahead and when a karban is absorbed by something else, that secondary item takes on the status of the karbanic item. Good. So the Gemara says, Asham, what do I learn from Asham? Ma Asham ain shafir v'shalya kadosh bo. We'll say, just like an Asham, literally again, the placenta, or the afterbirth, right? Or I should say, really, it's the placenta or the embryo, is not considered to be makudosh, doesn't have the status of the karban. So to afko ain shafir v'shalya kadosh bo. So to again, we'll say about other karbanos as well. So the fetus and the placenta do not have the status of Kiddusha Azah. They're both saying there's a good reason why by Asham, the Shafir and Shalya, the fetus and the placenta, are not Kadosh. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because Asham only comes from a male animal. So therefore, I will say, just like Asham, so therefore, because it comes from a male animal, therefore, again, obviously, what we'll call the placenta, the fetus, are not Kadosh. So too, by any other carbon, the placenta and the fetus are not Kadosh. Kasavar, Vlados kachim b'havyasan hein kachim. We'll say this particular opinion holds that a sacrificial animal only becomes kadosh when it's born. There is no such thing, even if you have a sacrificial animal which is pregnant, the animal in utero is not considered to be karbanic. It only becomes karbanic when it is born. So we'll say, if you have an animal born to an animal that is already sanctified as a karban, that animal, when it's born, will become kadosh. But while it is in utero, does not have sacrificial karbanic status. The Gemara says, again, that gets into a whole machlokus of uber yerechimo, uber lav yerechimo, how we view the child in utero. So again, not our primary topic now. So the Gemara goes back to v'donin, efsha mishi efshar. And furthermore, we'll say, this drasha shows you that what? We darshan efshar mishi efshar. Meaning we darshan that which is possible from that which is impossible. Obviously, by asham, it is impossible that the fetus and the placenta should be kadosh, because as we just said before, ultimately, again, the ashram is brought from a male animal. Yet we learn out the halachos by other sacrificial animals from ashram, despite the fact that ashram is e'afshar. Good. Baiter, miluim. Well, so what I learned from the miluim. So the miluim, also, remember, again, were the inauguration sacrifices. Those are the unique set of sacrifices that were kind of brought just one time during the inauguration of the Mishkan. So Rabbi says, what do I learn from the miluim? Ma miluim, mosrehem besreifa. Vein ba'alichayim, mosrehem besreifa. Rabbi says, just like by the miluim, so that which is left over is burned, but yet leftover living animals are not burned. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Actually, let's discuss what it means right now. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, "Ve'in ba'ali chayim osrehen b'sreifa, shalomatzinu sreifa b'miluim ella b'basar lachar shechita." So what this means is as follows. By the miluim, the halacha is, if there was leftover meat, like nosar, so that meat would be burnt. But for example, if you had leftover animals, what does leftover animals mean? Let's say, Rabbi, by the miluim, so when they went ahead and they designated animals for sacrificial purposes, they also designated a couple of extra standby animals, potential replacement animals. So we'll say, what's talach if they don't end up using those replacement animals? Those are called mosar. Those are called extra. Those extra animals, are both say, are not burnt, so to speak, in other words, they're not killed. They're left to graze. They're left to graze. So the Gemara says, af kol mosrim b'sreifa, vein balichai mosrim b'sreifa. Ultimately, we learn out from here to other karbanos, and we say same thing by other karbanos as well, that ultimately, leftover meat is burned, but any leftover living animals are not burned. Shlamim. So what do I learn from shlamim? Ma shlamim mepaglin umispaglin, af kol mepaglin umispaglin. So just like by shlamim, ultimately, again, so they could become pigul and cause other things to become pigul as well, which also means, what does that mean? For example, let's say shlamim, obviously shlamim could become pigul if there's an invalidating thought, and once the shlamim becomes pigul, the halacha is anything brought with the shlamim becomes pigul as well. So for example, once the shlamim becomes pigul, the nesachim, the wine libations, which are brought along with the shlamim, will also become pigul. So just like shlamim can become pigul, and that which is brought with it becomes pigul, so too all other karbanos themselves can become pigul and make other things pigul as well. B'masnisa tana, mishmed Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say in the Braisa, we talk the name of Rabbi Akiva. Zos ha-Torah. So we'll say, so remember again, the Gemara is quoting over here. The pasuk again, same pasuk we've been darshaning up until this time. Zos ha-Torah, the Ola, la mincha, la chatas, ula asham, la milon. We'll also remember again, why are we having this whole discussion? What's our whole discussion over here? The whole discussion is trying to figure out Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, remember again, everyone agrees that we're learning out from Karban Pesach a very important, critical, and pivotal halacha by Karbanos, which is, just like Karban Pesach comes from Chulin, so too any obligatory offering must come from Chulin. We know where the Rabbana learned that out from. We don't know what Rabbi Akiva's source for that is. We're trying to figure out, where does Rabbi Akiva learn this from? So, Masnisi Tarim Shed Rabbi Akiva, Zosat Torah, how does Rabbi Akiva learn it? He says, Mincha, Ma Mincha Mekadeshes Bibalua, Af Kol Mekadeshes Bibalua. So, what's in Rabbi Akiva's version? Rabbi Akiva is ultimately saying that what? That Halach Lamai, so where do we learn from Mincha? Just like Mincha, ultimately, again, if it is absorbed by something else, that item which absorbs it takes on Mincha status, that is true by all karbanos. I will say, if a karban is absorbed by something else, that item which absorbs the karbanic substance takes on the status of the karbanic item. So the Gemara says, V'itztirich. So now the Shaila is, I will say, we now learn this halacha in two places. In Rabbi Akiva's model, I learn it out in Chatas, and I learn it out in Mincha. Why the need for both? V'itztirich l'michtav v'chatas, v'itztirich l'michtav v'mincha. I need the Torah to teach this to me by Chatas and by Mincha. Why? Because of Rachmana ben Mincha, Mishum Direkicha Bela'a. We'll say because Mincha is soft. Because Mincha is soft, again, perhaps that's why it more easily absorbs and is absorbed. Right? Mincha can absorb something because it's soft, and it can be absorbed by something else because it's soft. Aval Chatos Imolo. Pemei Bechatos, we'll say, which is meat, which is a solid substance, maybe it doesn't absorb and is not as easily absorbed by other items. Because of Rachmana Bechatos, if Torah would have just told me this halacha by Chatos, namely, that chatos has the ability to be absorbed and by something else. And when a secondary item absorbs from chatos, it takes on chatos identity. Mishum de basar agav de shamin kadir. We'll say, since basar is fatty, it's able to be absorbed, it's able to penetrate. Ava mincha imalo. But mincha, maybe I will say, because it's not fatty, maybe it doesn't penetrate. To which the Gemara says, therefore, tzricha. Therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, I require both cases. So I will say, but there's an additional drasha. Chatos. What I learned from the word chatos? So we'll say, this isn't Rabbi Akiva's model. Remember again, Rabbi Akiva's model, he switches the drush a little bit. This is where we're going to get to the thrust of our discussion. In Rabbi Akiva's model, he's learning the halachos of Bliya from Mincha. If he's learning the halachos of Bliya from Mincha, that means in Rabbi Akiva's model, Chatos is open. What does he use Chatos for? Get ready for this. Machatos ein aba ela min achulin. Just like Chatos only comes from Chulin, ubayom, and can only be brought by day. Ubiado hayimanis, and could only be offered up with the right hand of the Kohen. Afkol, so to Rabbi say, all other karbanos as well. Eino ba, ela min achulin, has to come from unconsecrated animal. Ubayom, and can only be offered by day. Ubiado hayimanis, and with the right hand. So we'll say, if we pause here for just a moment, here we go. We just got it. Remember again, our whole time we're trying to figure out, where does Rabbi Akiva learn out the idea that an obligatory sacrificial animal could only come from chulin, cannot come from something that is already consecrated? Apparently, he's learning it out from the drasha, from one word, from chatos. Just like chatos has to come from an unconsecrated animal, so too any obligatory offering must come from an unconsecrated animal. To which the Gemara says, by the way, okay, the chatos gufa minolan. That's fine, but where do you actually know that from? In other words, Rabbi Akiva is darshaning a word. Where does Rabbi Akiva actually know these particular halachos when it comes to chatos? Here we go. Amr of Chista, the Amr Kra, the Hikriv Aaron es par hachatos asher lo. So we'll say, interestingly enough, where do we learn this out from? We learn this out from Parashas Achrimos, from the Avoda, ultimately, of Yom Kippur. So the Pasuk says that Aaron will go ahead and offer up the parachatos, right, the sin offering of the par, asher lo. So we learn a number of things from this. Number one, mishalo, velo mishal maiser. Number one, Rabbi say that it has to be his own, and not from maiser. In other words, say, so what do you see? Why does it have to say, ve'ekriv Aaron as parachatos asher lo? See, we normally assume that asher lo means what? That is being offered on his behalf. The way the Gemara's darshan go for tears, no. Asher lo means what Rabbi say? It's from his money. From his money. In other words, because it is his obligatory offering, it has to come from chulin. Rabbi Akiva's darshaning this to mean this is the source. This is the paradigm. Anytime you are bringing an obligatory offering, it must come from chulin. So mishalo v'lo mishal maiser. Bayom. So we'll say, so the pasuk says bayom. Bayom. Where do we know that the chatos, obligatory offerings, could only be offered up by day? So the Gemara dashes, mi bayom savaso nafka. Ultimately, again, from was it based on the pasuk, asher tziva Hashem es Moshe bahar Sinai, biyom savaso. So you see from here, ultimately, again, the sacrificial offerings could only be done by day. To which the Gemara says, kidei naspa. But ultimately, again, this statement is not the primary thrust. This was just kind of brought in passing. Biyado hayimanis. Ultimately, again, how do I know that the avodah has to be done with the coin's right hand? Midiraba bar barchana nafka. Domiraba bar barchana amareish lakish. Komakom shin emar etzba ukihuna. Eino ella yamin. We'll say any time, ultimately, again, it says etzba and kuhuna. That always means yamin. So we'll say, so what you see over here, by the way, is that these halachos are learned out from secondary places. To which the Gemara says, kidei naspa. Kidei naspa, we'll say, means this is just being brought up in passing. Which means that this is not the primary place where we make this limud from. The Gemara is just bringing it up because it's part of the general context. Now we'll say, but again, for our purposes, understand, we just got to a very important line. Because this whole time, we have a laser precision focus over here. Which is, I just want to understand where Rabbi Akiva learns the halacha that an obligatory offering could only come from chulin. That's the only thing I'm really concerned about right now. I know where the Rabbanah learn out from. Where did the Rabbanah learn out from? Where do they learn out from? Pesach. Right? Rabbi Akiva doesn't like that because Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold. He holds, ein danin efshar mishi'i efshar. So where does Rabbi Akiva learn out from? So we'll say, so clearly again we see, he learns it out from the word chatos. Or more specifically, he ultimately learns it out from the par of Aaron on Yom Kippur. That it says that it has to be Mishalo, which teaches us that Aaron's obligatory offering cannot come from Meiser, but rather, again, has to come from Chulin. From here, Rabbi Akiva says any obligatory offering can only come from Chulin. Beautiful. Asham, so we'll say the Gemara continues on with the drasha. Asham, what did I learn from the word Asham? Ma Asham atzmosav mutarin. We'll say, just like an Asham, the bones of an Asham are permitted. So apparently I will say the Kodesh status of the bones of an Asham are, they're not Kodesh, they're Chulin. Afkol atzmosav mutarin. So ultimately, again, what did I will say? All other sacrificial items, ultimately, again, the bones are mutar. We'll say, this actually is very, very, very important. Because what this tells you is that sacrificial sanctity does not devolve upon bones. We'll say, you know, this becomes then the springboard for another interesting discussion, which is, do bones of animals have the status of food or not? This is right. So again, if they don't have sacrificial sanctity, so do they have food status as well? We'll say this has ramifications for many different halachos, most notably the use of certain types of gelatin. So just pointing out again, we'll actually see this in Chulin. We'll discuss this more. But here the Gemara is asking from Asham that an animal, the sacrificial animal's bones do not have sacrificial sanctity. So to all other carbonos, the bones don't have sanctity either. But Rabbi Akiva, so we'll say now jumping back to Rabbi Akiva. Hi, vizavachta Pesach, my Amadeus, my Avidle. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with the Pasuk of vizavachta Pesach? So we'll say, if you remember again, the Mishnah, remember, let's take a step back. Our Mishnah, the last Mishnah that we spoke about, said that if a person says, Hare Alai Toda, I hereby take upon myself an obligation to bring a carbon Toda, what's the halacha? You have to bring it minachulin. You have to bring the animal. You cannot satisfy your personal obligations through a consecrated animal, only through a chulin animal. Where do we learn that from? Vizavachta Pesach LaHashem Elokechot Sonu Bakar. Rabbi Akiva doesn't use that pasuk, as we've clearly established. So what does he learn out from the pasuk of Vizavachta Pesach LaHashem Elokecha Tzonu Bakar? What does he do with that? To my Avidle, top of Pei Gimel Amud Beis 83b, top line, to which the Gemara says, Miboile L'Chidur Rav Nachman. He needs it ultimately, again, for the statement of Rav Nachman. What does Rav Nachman say? Well, this is actually quite interesting. Dom Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Minayin lemoser haPesach shekarav shlomim. We'll say it's actually very interesting. How do I know that the moser haPesach, which we'll say literally means a leftover Pesach, is offered up as a karban shlomim? Now, what's the case here? Take a look at Rashi, the Kisvei Yad Rashi on the bottom. Lemoser haPesach kegon shehifrish maos lepischo v'nosru yavei mehen shlomim. So we'll say here's a simple case, right? Simple case will be that what? That halacha lemaisa, I go ahead, I separate out $500 from my karban Pesach. It turns out that what? I only needed 300 of it. So now what do I do with the remaining 200? So what's the halacha? I go ahead and I use it for shlamim. That's the Gemara's telling over here. I use it to purchase a karban shlamim. So how do I know? How do I know that the leftover money through a karban Pesach are used to purchase shlamim? Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, Vizavachta Pesach LaHashem Elokecha, you shall offer up the karban Pesach to Hashem your God, Tzon u'bakar. It will say sheep and cattle. Now here's the interesting, now here's the problem with that pasuk, which is, V'halo, Ain Pesach ba elam in akvasim in aizim. Let's say here's the problem. Why is bakar mentioned in context of the Karban Pesach? Karban Pesach comes from the sheep or the goat family, right? It doesn't come from the cattle family. Ella, so what does it come to teach me? Ella moser haPesach yihiya ledavar haba min hatzono min habakar. So what it's actually coming to teach me is that if there is any leftover monies from Karban Pesach, that is used to purchase the type of carbon that comes either min hatzon or min habakar. What is the type of carbon that comes either min hatzon or min habakar? Ultimately, again, shlamim. Take a look again at Rashi in the bottom. Kisei yad l'davra ba min hatzon min habakar. V'ahindu shlamim. V'af agav de'ola ba'a gamke min hatzon min habakar. Hafilo hachi shlamim asi. De'ah l'shem achile frishav lo l'shem kalu. So we'll say, Rashi actually just points out something very interesting over here. Even though an ola can also come from Tzonu Bakar, we would rather use the residual funds, leftover funds of Pesach, for Ashlamim. Why? Because what's a carbon? Pesach is a carbon that is consumed, and therefore it makes sense to use it for another type of carbon, which is consumed as well, i.e. Ashlamim, and not an Ola. Good. So I'll say, so that's ultimately again what Rabbi Akiva seems to use that pasuk for. V'zavachta Pesach l'Hashem l'kech atzonu bakar comes to teach me that if I've left over monies from the carbon Pesach, that halacha l'maisa, I use it to go ahead and purchase a shlamin. Good. So the Gemara says, v'hame hachanafka. Is this Gemara the source for this halacha? After all, the Avuah d'Shmuel nafka. The Gemara says, we actually learn out that halacha from Avuah d'Shmuel. Dichsev, what Avuah d'Shmuel is saying, im min hatzon karbano, l'zavach shlamin. Go say, the pasuk says, and if, ultimately, again, im min hatzon karbano, if from the sheep will be his carbon, lezevach shlamim. Now, the pasuk in its entirety is, v'minatzon karbono lezevach shlamim, l'Hashem, zachar nekeva tamim yakriven. What do I learn from there? So the Gemara says, v'amar Avuah d'Shmuel said, davar haba min hatzon yehei lezevach shlamim. Ultimately, again, that which comes from the sheep, ultimately, again, will be for zevach shlamim. Look at Rashi just a moment. Yehei lezevach shlamim. Dai zevach shlamim kray yiseru. Deha bishlamim ayri le'el. V'habi matzi lemichta v'minatzon. To which the Gemara says, v'akati mehacha nafka. But still, do we learn how from this pasuk? After all, says the Gemara, mehasa nafka. We learn it out from elsewhere. V'hatan, so the Gemara says, where do we learn out from? V'hatanya. Keves l'rabos es ha-pesach la'alya. Both say the word keves teaches me that what? That Karma Pesach is obligated in the laws of Alya, which I will say ultimately means that what? That we go ahead and we burn the fat from the tail of the Karma Pesach on the Mizbeach. Kishu Omer Im Keves, when the Pasuk says Im Keves, which is an extra phrase, Lahavi Pesach Sha'avra Shnaso, so that comes to include what? A carbon shlamin, Rabosai, that is now over a year old. So once the carbon Pesach is over a year old, it has aged out from the carbon Pesach, from being a carbon Pesach. Ushlamim habaim machmas Pesach, and shlamim ultimately again, which come machmas Pesach. So Rabosai, machmas Pesach means that halacha l'maisa, they are shlamim that come as a result of animals not being used for carbon Pesach that are left over. L'chom is shlamim. That have all of the halachos of shlamim. What does it mean they have all of the halachos of shlamim? Sheyitan u'smicha, that they require smicha, unisachim, wine libations, tenufos, waving, chazei v'shok, an offering of the chest and the thigh. Kishu omer v'im eis, but when the pasuk says v'im eis, and if it will be a goat, hifsik ha'inyon. Ultimately, again, it stops the conversation. Limeit al ha'eis she'ina tu'una alyo. And it teaches me about the goat, that although the sheep will require the burning of the fat of the tail on the Mizbeach, a goat does not. To which Rabbi Osei, the Gemara says, you're right. Tlasa kroy ksiv. In fact, Rabbi Osei, the halacha is that we have three different psukim that seem to all talk about the same dynamic. Namely, three different psukim, Rabbi Osei, that all seem to point in the same direction, that Mosar Pesach Karev Shlamim. So they will say, if you have a leftover Pesach animal, now we'll say, leftover Pesach animal could really occur in the form of two different ways. Number one, I have money that I set aside for Karban Pesach, and then what? I don't end up using it. So what's the halacha? The Gemara is now teaching me that I have to go ahead, and what do I do with that money? What do I do with that money? I purchase shlamim. Second possibility is, I have an animal that's a Karban Pesach, and I actively designated a replacement animal in the event that my Karban Pesach gets lost. Baruch Hashem, my Karban Pesach is never lost. That residual animal now is offered up as what? As the Shlamim. So we'll say, what's interesting now at this point in our conversation is, we seem to have three psukim that all go ahead and teach us that same halacha. All teach us that same halacha. So we'll say, so the Shaila obviously is, why three psukim to teach me the same halacha? To which the Gemara says, Chad la'avra zmano va'avra shnaso. So we'll say, one is to teach you how to carbon Pesach. The sha'avra zmano means, we'll say, it's past Pesach, va'avra shnaso. The halach is you can only offer up a sheep as a carbon Pesach if it's within 1 year old. So it's coming to teach me that even if the sheep itself, even if it's after Pesach, and the sheep aged out, I still offer up the leftover animal as a shlamin. The chad la'avra zmano va'avra shnaso. Another pasuk is to teach Rabbi say the halachas of what? On a case where it's past Pesach, but the animal is still within a year, that halacha l'maisa it's offered up as a shlamim. And I will say one pasuk is to teach me even a case where what? Pesach has not yet passed, the animal is still a year old, but I don't need it for Karban Pesach, then what? I go ahead and offer it up as a shlamim. Utsrichim. And I will say, I need a pasuk to teach me each of these things. Why? Because if the pasuk would have just taught me that if I have a leftover animal, it was supposed to use for Pesach, but I didn't need it for Pesach. And now what? Now it's after Pesach, and now the animal is over a year. So now the pasuk is teaching that I offer up as a shlamim. I would say, Mishum de'itchile legamre. The reason it's offered up as a shlamim, I will say, is why? Because it's totally unusable as a carbon Pesach. Because it's after Pesach and it's also over a year old. About Avraz Manovolo Avrash Naso. Rabbi say perhaps even if it's after Pesach, but the animal's still within a year, the Chazila Pesach Sheni Emalo. Even though the animal I don't need it for Pesach Rishon, maybe because it's usable for Pesach Sheni, maybe I don't offer it up as a shlamim. V'yashmo inon Avraz Manovolo Avrash Naso. If it would have just taught me the case of a situation where it's after Pesach, but the animal is still within a year, I would say that case you offer up as a shlamim. Why? The itchilei me Pesach Rishon, because at this point in time it's no longer usable for Pesach Rishon. Avalo avras mano velo avras naso. But if the animal is still within a year, right? But if it's before Pesach, but the animal, I'm sorry, avalo avras mano velo avras naso. If Pesach has not yet passed and it's still within a year, shdafil le Pesach Rishon nami chazio, that is fit for use even for Pesach Rishon. Imalo, perhaps I would say that what? Perhaps it's not offered up as a shlamim. Therefore, again, says the Gemara Tzvicha. So we'll say, so bottom line, the halacha lemaisa is, any time you have leftover items from a Karban Pesach, which Shabbos means, any time I have either leftover monies, or any time I actually have a leftover animal, an actual leftover animal, the halacha is that what? It is ultimately used as a carbon, as a carbon shlamim. It is always used as a shlamim. That Rabbi Say is the bottom line halacha. Hajin halach, hatoda ha'isabar. Rabbi Say, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. Another parak completed. Incredible. Says the Gemara. Kol karbanos sibar. Rabbi Say, let's go back there. No time for celebration. Time to go on. Kol karbanos atzibar. Rabbi Say, here we go. Now this is actually also. So what's, by the way, I'm hoping that what you're beginning to appreciate about these Gemaras, what I begin to appreciate is that if you notice again, the way this Masechta is set up is the topics are very concentrated. As opposed to Gemara, a lot of times you're seeing Gemara where you'll begin with a topic and then go on a million tangents. You'll notice over here that halacha l'maisa, they're very concentrated. So we'll begin with a particular topic and we will exhaust it. We've seen it now with Karban Omer. We've seen it with Karban Toda. So we'll say, so now we begin another topic. Kol karbanos hatzibor v'ayochid. We'll say all communal offerings, personal offerings, what's the halacha? And I will say here, by the way, again, we're talking about menachos. We're still on the topic of karban mincha. Makes sense. Maseches menachos. Right? So we're still on the topic of karban mincha. So any communal offerings or any individual offerings, what's the halacha? Ba'in min ha'aretz o mechutz al ha'aretz. I will say they could be made of grain, which comes from Eretz Yisrael, or grain which comes from chutzla. So Rabbi say, there is no halacha that grain for a mincha must come from Eretz Yisrael. It could come from Eretz Yisrael, come from chutzla Eretz. Min ha-chadosh u-min ha-yashan. Similarly, again, Rabbi say, in general, when it comes to this, you're trying to stam minachos. Stam mincha, Rabbi say, we don't care if the grain is chadosh, if the grain is yashan, if the grain comes from inside Eretz Yisrael, outside Eretz Yisrael, makes no difference to us. Chutz, with of course two notable exceptions, which we spent a lot of time on already. Chutz, Min ha-omer, also the carbon omer, remember again, has to come from chadash, has to come from the new crop, ushtei ha-lechem, and as well as the offering, the loaf offering of Shavuos, must also come from the new crop. Remember again, I will say, they both come from chadash. The omer comes from the new crop of barley, which is the earliest, which is the grain which grows earliest in the season, and the ushtei ha-lechem comes from the new crop of grain. So those are the two commands of Osei, where they have to come from chadash. Not only that, but she'inon ban ela min ha'chadosh u'min ha'aretz. And I will say, furthermore, they have to come from Eretz Yisrael grain. You cannot bring grain from outside of it, barley or wheat from outside of Eretz Yisrael for the Omer or for the Shtei HaLechem. V'kulon, but I will say in general, all of the menachos, einon ba'in ela min ha'muvchar. I will say, now, interestingly enough, as much as we said that halacha l'maisa, for other menachos, the wheat has the ability, the mincha could come ultimately again from Eretz Yisrael, from Chutzal Aretz, it always has to be of the highest quality. It always has to be of the highest quality. To which the Gemara says, "Ezo mufcha shalahem." So, what? Give me an example. What's an example of high quality wheat? To which the Gemara says, "Machnis v'zatcha alfa l'soles." So we'll say, "So machnis and zatcha." So we'll say, these are names. Rashi points out these are names of places. Rashi's gear says, "Machmis v'zincha mekomosin." These were the names of places in Eretz Yisrael. These names of places, ultimately again, which produce alfa l'soles. Produce grade A flour. These places produce grade A flour. Shni alahem, we'll say what's ultimately again considered to be a second grade flour. Afurayim bebika. So we'll say, so the second grade flour would come from ultimately this place, Afurayim, which was in the valley. Kala aratos hayuksheros elamikan hayumibim. So we'll say ultimately again, kala aratos, Rashi says, shal eretz yisal ksheros elamikan hayumibim. So we'll say ultimately again, we'll see that halacha l'maisa, you could bring grain from anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but these were the regions where grain was brought from, because apparently these were the regions where they produced the highest quality grain. To which the Gemara says, "Masnisin de lo kiaitan." So we'll say, our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of the following Tana. Disanya, we'll say, because what did we learn? Omer haba min hayashan, kosher. Shtei halechem haba'us min hayashan, ksheros. So we'll say, listen to this. Because there isn't, remember again, our Mishnah said that although all karbanos, all menachos generally could come from Chadash, from Yashan, from Eretz Yisrael, from Chutz La'aretz, ultimately, you know, two exceptions. Shtei Alechem and Omer have to come from Chadash, new crop, and have to come from Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara just points out, by the way, there is another opinion who's clearly not reflected in our Mishnah. What does this other opinion say? He holds that halacha l'maisa Omer could come even from Yashan. Shtei halachem could come even from Yashan. Ela shechiser mitzvah. Well, I will say, but what are you missing if you bring ultimately again Omer or Shtei halachem from Yashan? Chiser mitzvah. Shin Zabosai, it's not lechatchila. Lechatchila, you should bring it from Chadash. But bidi eved, you could even go ahead and bring it from Yashan. Dichsiv Omer, dichsiv. I will say, where do I learn this out? So here we go. Omer, when it comes to Karban Omer, dichsiv. I'm sorry. Omer dechsev takriv es minchas bikurecha va'afilu min ha'aliyah. So this is actually very interesting. So the pasuk says over here, you shall offer up your karban, your minchas bikurecha, which we'll say is a reference to the Omer, va'afilu min ha'aliyah. Now we'll say in this context, afilu min ha'aliyah, Rashi says over here, look at afilu min ha'aliyah, da'ainu yashan. We'll say this is the first, so aliyah literally means what? Your attic, right? Your attic. We'll say, what do you put in the attic? I guess the old stuff, right? So you go ahead. So he's afilu min aliyah means you could even bring it from Yashan. You could even bring it from the old crop, the henu Yashan. The tana the pasuk yalef tama mireishes ktsirchem. So okay, so we'll see the drush in just a moment. Afilu min aliyah shtei alechem. What's the comes to shtei alechem? Dichsev mimoshvo sechem taviu velo michutzal aretz. So we'll say again. We learn now from shtei alechem that the pasuk is mimoshvo sechem taviu. You shall bring it from your habitation. Or what do we learn from there? From that the crop has to be from Eretz Yisrael and not from Chutz La'aretz. V'lo mi'chutz La'aretz, mi'mosho seichem. What do I learn from Mosho seichem? Va'afilu min ha'aliyah. Even from old grain. So we'll say, see from here that what? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, at least according to this, I shouldn't say halacha l'maisa. We're seeing that according to this other Tana, that you are permitted to bring Omer and Shtei Alechem even from Yashan, albeit, it's not l'chatchila, but b'dievet, it's fine. To which the Gemara says, ha, fixing. Is this, so the Gemara says, is this a proper drasha? Is this really what we're learning from here? Amar kra, taviu va'afilu min ha'aliyah. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says, you shall bring it, and we learn that from here, even from Yashan. The Gemara says, but one second. V'ha mi ba'ilei, shekol sha'ata mevi mimakom acher, harehu kazeh. So we'll say, but one second, there's another drasha that we make from there, which is what? That anything else that is brought, that is chametz, should be like this, should be like the shtei halechem. Look at Rashi just a moment. Shekol sha'ata mevi mimakom acher, chametz. Remember, this pasuk is this pasuk by Shtei Halechem is necessary to teach me another halacha, namely Shtei Halechem is the paradigmatic chametz offering, and therefore whatever is done by Shtei Halechem ultimately again is what? Whatever is done by Shtei Halechem is halacha lemaisa done in other circumstances as well. Just like by Shtei Halechem, ultimately it's brought from an Isaron, so too by other chametz offerings, it's also brought from an Isaron. Im kein lichtov kra tavi. If that's the case, the pasuk just said tavi, my tavi. What do I learn? Why does it say in the plural? Shmamina tarti. Well, I can learn two things. Number one, that halacha lemaisa the grants come from Eretz Yisrael. And number two, ultimately, that this is the paradigmatic case of a chametz offering, and therefore halacha lemaisa, everything that is chametz is brought from an Isaron. I b'haksiv reishis, but we'll say there's a more fundamental problem. How can you tell me that Shtei Halechem and Omer can be brought ultimately from Yashan if the pasuk itself says what? The pasuk itself says reishis, right? The pasuk says Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleim kisol shanuchel k'sartem es k'sira v'aveisim es Omer reishis k'sir chamakon. The pasuk clearly says that what? That the carbon Omer is supposed to be the reishis. It's supposed to be the first offering. So what's the pshat? How can you say that it can come from Yashan? To which the Gemara says lemitzvah. L'chatchila. Okay, I'm not arguing. L'chatchila should come from reishis. L'chatchila should come from chadash. But I will say bidi aved. If it didn't, it didn't. I think says the Gemara, Haksiv Chadasha. The pasuk says Chadasha, right? The crafted Mincha Chadasha Lashem. So does that not mean that it has to come from the Chadash and not from the Yashan? Haimi Boyle Lichidisanyar. Both say we need that treasure for something else. Lichidisanyar, Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Akiva, Amru, Shtei Halechem, Habaos, Mincha Yashan, Ksheros. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Nasan agree that if the two loaf offering of Shavuos, the Shtei Halechem, comes from Yashan, comes from old grain, the carbon is kasher. Umami mekayim chadasha. It will say, what do I do with the word chadasha? Shetei chadasha l'chol ha-menachos. Then I will say, ultimately, again, it has to be chadasha l'chol ha-menachos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Second to last line in Rashi. Shetei chadasha l'chol ha-menachos. Shafilu min hayashan teikodemes l'chol ha-menachos habos min ha-chadash. Then I will say, it must be the first of all offerings that will come from chadash, even though it itself can come from Yashan. It's actually a fascinating drasha. So I will say it has to be offered up before any other karbanos are brought from the new crop, but the Shtei Halechem itself can what? Can ultimately come from Yashan. So we'll say, we'll stop over here, but understand what we are leaving off with. We're leaving off with a dramatic machlokes, apparently not between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan and the Mishnah, namely, when it comes to Shtei Halechem and the Omer, what does it have to come from? Our Mishnah unequivocally said that Shtei Halechem and Omer must come from Chadash. We now see this other school of thought that says that although Shtei Halechem and Omer should ideally lechatchila come from Chadash, bidi eved if it comes from Yashan, ultimately again you are Yotzei, and Mirat Hashem to be continued tomorrow.